give the Lord a hand, will you? Wow, I'm telling you. Thank you, Lisa. I don't know about you, but I've been to heaven and back this morning. I love singing, and I just wish God had gifted me. If he had gifted me, you guys would really be in trouble because I'd sing all the time. But I love singing for the Lord. It's so awesome. If you'll take your Bibles, I want you to get with me this morning to Philippians, and that's what we've been preaching through, the book of Philippians, and I want you to get there and get to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Now, if you find me to be excited a little bit this morning, I'm sorry I am. I don't even want to apologize for that. God is just doing some amazing things in my life personally and in my church life amazingly. It has been a thrill as I continue to get excited about this mountain climbing. And, you know, the thing that's exciting for me is so many of our people are really thinking about this. I mean, it is on their mind. It's on their heart. It's on their prayer list. I'm getting all kinds of emails and all kinds of things that are so exciting. I'm seeing brand new ministries being born. I'm seeing old ministries being resurrected. Pastor Darrell and I attended a conference this week that God just opened the door for us to go to Indianapolis. We left Tuesday night and got back on Thursday. 1,000 pastors there. Sponsored by the North American Mission Board of our Southern Baptist Convention. We had a chance to attend several conferences and then hear preaching all on Tuesday night, all day on Wednesday and Thursday. And Pastor Darrell and I just got back excited. I mean, God spoke to us. The messages were just right on. You know, us preachers, we need to be preached at too. And it was just so convicting and so powerful and so confirmational, if that's a correct word. I don't know if that is. You can look it up, Darrell, for me. Let me know. But it just confirmed. I mean, it did. I'm going to tell you things in the next several weeks that's just going to blow you away. It confirmed to me the direction that we're going right now at New Hope and what it is that God wants us to do. I got a deacon's meeting today at 1 o'clock, and I'm excited. I want to share with our deacons, give them a peek into my heart about what God's doing, and I know it's going to bring excitement among them as I begin to train leadership on how we get to where I know we need to go. Let me give you just an example. This week, I got an email from someone who was having their devotion, and they sent me this. It said, Pastor, I just want to share with you my devotion, and I want to share with you what God said. Now, you got Philippians, right? Everybody got it? Let me see your Bibles. Come on. Let's see them. Hold them up there. All right. Awesome. You don't come to church without the Word. Your visitor with us today to learn that. You'll hear me say that over and over again. You won't find Scripture up there. You find Scripture here. Bring your Word. We learn to read it. We learn to go through it. We learn to study it. It is God's gift to us, okay? Now, you got your ribbon. The reason why they gave you these ribbons in this Bible was for a purpose, all right? Mark Philippians. If you come to this church all the time, you've learned that a long time ago. I want you to back up with me to the book of Matthew. And this was a devotion that was given to one of our church members, and they sent me the email on it, and it touched my heart. I love it that God just continues to speak to some awesome people in our church. Matthew chapter 17. Everybody got it? Got it? That's the first book of the New Testament. Don't go too far. If you got to use your index, that's okay. You'll learn the books as we go through. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, first four Gospels. Matthew, the first one. Everybody got it? Matthew chapter 17. Let me read to you these five verses. It says this, now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them, now watch, to a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like a sun, and his clothes became as white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with them. And Peter answered, and he said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. Now, if you're writing in your Bibles, I want you to underline that. Because I'm praying that in the next year or two, you're going to say that. I pray you're going to say that now in this church. It is good for us to be here. Okay, now watch what he says. It is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. The person in the email said this, Jesus took the disciples to the mountain where they experienced him in a way they had never known before. We may not understand, the person says, everything that is happening at times, but God will get the glory if we are obedient. As we climb this mountain, Pastor, God is going to give us opportunities to glimpse His glory in ways we've never experienced before. I was blessed, she said, and wanted to share this with you. Isn't that exciting? I mean, God spoke to her while she was doing her devotion and gave this passage, and it was just so encouraging to me as I read it. And I said, Lord, we're heading up the mountain. You took three of your disciples up the mountain, and they were excited to be there. My prayer is, people, you are going to get so excited to head up this mountain. It is going to cause you to experience the glory of God like you have never experienced Him before in your life. That is what God is in process of doing. We had a meeting this week with our prayer team, introducing all of our new stuff that's going on. And he just whispered in my ear a while ago and said, I'm telling you, our prayer team is excited. I mean, they're going to a whole new area in 2012. It's something none of us have ever tried. And I gave, now get this, I gave some people on that prayer team some work. I mean work, not just sit back and pray. I mean work. And I get an email from one of them, excited about work. Man, that don't happen often. I just praise the Lord for that. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. That's what's going on in our church, such excitement. But can I say this to you? It's not going to be easy. It is not going to be easy. And if you think that you don't have to be prepared for this, if you think you don't have to be trained for this, if you think you don't have to be prayed up for this, then you have got a problem. This isn't for novices. This is for people who are ready to do it. And some of you have been Christians for a long time, and it's about time we go out of our box. But if you think you can do it, you're headed for a lot of danger. Another church member sent me a passage in the book of Psalms that really got to my heart. And in the process, I thought about this video. Watch this video in reference to the passage I was sent this week. It's not going to be an easy task, people. And there's going to be some people that aren't going to be prepared for this journey. That is the reason why we're spending time at the base camp. That's why we're doing some training. That's why we're preaching what we're preaching. That's why we're sharing what we're sharing. Because we don't want to climb this mountain. If you think it's going to be a little tiny hill, it's not. If you think it's going to be something that's really simple, I got some news for you. That's not going to happen. Because where I really feel God has taken us this year, where I really feel that God's going to us, is going to be an amazing, amazing, amazing journey. But we have got to be prepared. We have got to know what it is that God wants us to do. We've looked at a lot of things in the last 3 weeks for preparation. We absolutely have hovered over some things that have been tough for some of us to swallow. We talked about relationship and the relationship that we're to have to each other, the relationship that we're to have to God. And like I said to you a few weeks ago, and I meant it, we got to love each other like we have never loved each other before. If we're going to climb that mountain, we got to care about each other. We got to reach out to each other. We got to know what's going on in the lives of our people. We talked a few weeks ago about the chain. So many of you thought that because of the sickness or financial problems or the things you're going through right now that you may not be able to climb that mountain. We said, hey, let's let God use your difficulties to be a witness to God. Let God use it like he did with Paul and turn your chains into a victory. You just change your attitude and hang on to what it is that God wants you to do. And then last week, we talked about the hope. Now, we're climbing this mountain with a hope, not like the world has, but a hope that's in Christ. Remember how I shared with you last week, a hope that is inside, a hope that is outside, a hope that is on this side, and a hope that's on the other side. That hope is so powerful and so strong. Now, if none of this made any sense to you, then you haven't heard the messages yet. Go on to our website, www.newhopeonthehill.com, and you can listen to those messages and get caught up. But we're preparing in the base camp. And the next item that we're going to deal with may be something you've never thought of. I showed you the video of everyone who's experiencing these extreme videos because we're going to go on an extreme trip. And some of you, I think, may be just too cocky in your thinking. I can do this. I don't need to be trained. I don't need to be prayed up. I've been a Christian for a long time. I know what I'm doing. If any of those statements describe you, I got some news for you. You're in trouble. You're in major, major trouble. You have a problem, and that's what our subject is going to be about today. It is called humility. If you'll take a look at your bulletin, and on the inside of your bulletin this week is the outline of our sermon. It will not be up on the screen. It is this week in your bulletin. So please pull it out. Those of you taking notes, follow with me as we come together and study God's holy word. The definition of humility, according to the dictionary, means meekness, modesty in behavior, attitude and spirit, not arrogant or prideful. Listen, low in rank, quality, or station. You may ask, why are we having to learn this topic? You have got to have a humble attitude to be available to be used by God. I want to teach you this morning four things about godly humility. And I want you to listen to them because they're very powerful for us to understand as we continue our study in the book of Philippians on the second chapter. Now, you have your outline, as I said, so I want you to grab hold of it. When I think about what it is that God wants to do in our lives, it brings me to my knees. When I think about what it is that God wants to do in my life, I promise you, I have said to the Lord, Lord, why have you chosen me? I am so honored, I am so humbled by the fact that you've chosen New Hope Baptist Church, that you've reached out and you've touched my life, Pastor Darrell's life, Chris's life, to say, well, I am going to use you guys to do what is absolutely amazing. I am humbled by that thought of what God has been doing in my life. Let me give you these four things. Mark them down, take some notes, think about it. First of all, if we're going to climb that mountain, if we're going to do what it is that God's called us to do, then, my friends, we must have a mindset of humility. A mindset of humility. What do we mean by that? Well, let's look. Philippians chapter 2 over in verse 1. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection or mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same mind, being in one accord of one mind. When I'm talking about the mindset of humility, it's a mindset that recognizes something very interesting. It recognizes the thought that we as Christians benefit from that which we have received from Christ. Do you realize, Christian, what you have received from God? Notice what he said, we have received encouragement from what? Being united with Christ. After all, being united with Christ. Do you understand what that results from? Forgiveness, redemption, reconciliation with God, the promise of eternal life. I don't know about you, but that's pretty encouraging. That's something to get excited about. We've also received comfort from Christ's love. Isn't it comforting for you and I to know that Jesus Christ loved us so much that he was willing to give his life for us? And as a result of that, we receive that fellowship that God has allowed us to receive with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Since we're Christians, it is that strength, it is that power, it is that beauty that God has given us that makes it so wonderful. And listen what he says. We all sitting in this building ought to be like-minded. What do you mean like-minded? We should say, God, oh, thank you for what you've done for me. Thank you, Father, for forgiveness. Thank you, God, for saving me. Thank you, God, for the promise of eternal life. Thank you, God, for brothers and sisters in Christ who love me and care about me. Thank you, God, for a church who wants a vision to do something in changing the world. Father, I don't deserve this, but oh, I am so honored that you've chosen me. You know, there's something neat about that. The fact that you and I have received so much from our Father, the fact that he has done so very much for us, ought to cause us to have a grateful humility on our part. Why we seem to have problems with this in our life, I don't know. We're not going to climb a mountain unless, my friends, you become thankful and that you understand and realize you don't deserve one single thing you have. You don't deserve it. You're sinners, according to the Scripture. But because you accepted Christ as your Savior, God gave it to you. Everything I own, everything I have, came from my Father. Thank you, Father, for giving that to me. That's humility. That you get into your life and you understand that. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, write that down because you want to go back and look at it. He said, what do you have that you did not receive? Now listen, what do you have that you did not receive? You didn't go get it. It was given to you. What do you have that you do not receive? And if you did not receive it, then why do you boast as if you did not? Who do you think you are, thinking you're the one to put your life together? God said, no, I did it. Who do you think you are to give you the job that you have? No, I did it. God said, I am the one giving you those things in your life, and you have received it. Why do you boast that you think you can do it all? My friends, we're going to climb that mountain. We've got to be thankful for the things that God has, a mindset of humility. Secondly, we got to have an expression of humility. I like this. Now watch out. You're going to get your toes stepped on. You ready for it? Here it is, verse 3. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition and conceit. Now I think that's so powerful, I got to read it again. Go back to it with me. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others, grab this, better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. My friends, when you've realized how you've been blessed, it changes you in so many ways. I believe that there are two expressions of humility. One is by attitude and the other is by action. The attitude is to that humble consideration of others that they are better than us. The action is to look not only for our own interest, but to ask God to allow me to look at the interest of others. The attitude leads to action. When we consider someone to be a VIP, we tend to care about their interest as well as our own. We don't need any encouragement, you see, to take care of our own interests. We do that pretty well. As a matter of fact, that comes pretty naturally for most of us. But having the attitude that begins to see others as more important than ourselves will translate into humble acts of service. You see, we're not climbing a mountain for us. I'm not going up that mountain just for me. My friends, we're climbing that mountain for others. We're climbing that mountain so that we can reach other people for Christ. We're climbing that mountain that we could change our city and change our town. We're climbing that mountain so our lives will be changed. We'll be able to do the things that God has called us to do. Every person we see while we are climbing that mountain every day of our lives was put there as a very important person in our lives. 1999, the Phoenix Open. Tiger Woods had driven his ball in the 13th hole of the final round, and it landed right behind a 1,000-pound rock. The boulder was in the way for his next shot. Under the rules of golf, you're allowed to move anything that is in your way. Now, Bobby, look this up for me, okay? But under the rules of golf, you're allowed to move anything that is in your way as long as it is not stationary, as long as it is not fixed, as long as it's not growing, as long as it's not solidly embedded. The official rule said that this 1,000-pound rock was not embedded and could be moved. But like I said, it weighed 1,000 pounds. Tiger Woods looked into the gallery of people, and he said, guys, I got to move this rock. Will you help me? A bunch of people jumped over the ropes, came out and said, you bet, Tiger, you bet. Grabbed hold of that rock. Several men pushed the rock out of the way so that Tiger Woods could get his next shot. TV camera zoomed in on this amazing thing, and one of the guys said to the TV camera, I'll help Tiger Woods move boulders anytime he needs it. If that had been you and I out there playing golf, there were no TV cameras around, how many people would have jumped up and helped me move a 1,000-pound rock so that I could get my next shot? You see, the reason why so many people wanted to do it was why? It was Tiger Woods. We're not important enough. Maybe we sometimes, think about this for a moment, are tempted to treat other people the same way. When we see somebody in need, we have a tendency to weigh the sacrifice and the trouble of helping them against the worth of the person. It is a very important person. Can this person do anything for me? Will they ever be able to return my favor if I help them? Will anyone hear about what I've done and pat me on the back from it? But God, if I understand, people, if I understand what God's saying to us, every single person you and I run into, all people are important to God. It said, for God so loved the important people. No, it said, for God so loved the world. And every person you and I should run into, we should be inclined to jump in and help them in any way we can, and with an attitude of saying, thank you, Father, that I'm able to help this individual. Someone once said that there are two kinds of people to walk into a room. The person that says, here I am, and the person that says, there you are. Which kind of person are you? You ever talk to someone at a party or at a social gathering or even at church, and you kind of got the impression that while you were talking to them, you were just a place marker until they could find somebody else more important? While they were shaking your hand, instead of looking at you in the eye, they were looking over your shoulder, checking out the room to see if anybody else more important just walked in. If you've ever been in that spot, it's not a pleasant spot to be. If you've ever done that, it's a horrible thing to do. So many times we walk into a place with only one objective in the world, and that's to trade up. The person I'm talking to, I got to trade up to a better person. My friends, let me tell you something. Everybody who God brings before our life is more important than any other person that we could ever think about. When we're talking to someone, we need to be thinking, this person is a VIP that God has brought into my path today. And they deserve my full attention and help if I can give it to them. Challenging, isn't it? Different for us, isn't it? But if we're going to climb that mountain, God's going to put some people in our lives that we need to care about. Thirdly, we've got the gold standard for humility given to us in this passage. Look at Philippians chapter 2, go down to verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let me tell you something, friends. If you don't have that verse underlined in your Bible, you ought to do it. If you've not memorized much scripture, that is one scripture you need to memorize. Let this mind be in me, that's in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. The standard that we have for humility is given to us in this passage. Paul says our attitude should be of the same mind that it was in Christ Jesus. And that specific attitude he's talking about is an attitude of humility. Paul walks us through these steps of humility that Jesus Christ experienced. And he said every single one of us should think about these steps in reference to ours. To voluntarily demote yourself down the ladder of success for the idea of winning somebody else to Jesus Christ. Notice how Paul placed it for us, step one. Jesus was in the very essence and the nature equal with God. Jesus was where everybody wanted to be in heaven. However, in his incarnation that we preached about on Christmas Day, when Jesus put on flesh, when Jesus became born as a human body, he made himself nothing compared to what he was up there. In the original language, the word that is used here is kino, means he emptied out or he drained himself so that he could come here on earth. And when Christ came to this earth, he submitted himself to limitation. He submitted himself to things that would not bring glory. On earth, Jesus would become tired. In heaven, he never was weary. On earth, Jesus became hungry. In heaven, he never did hunger. He lowered himself to come down upon this earth so that he could win people to Christ. Can you understand that? What humility. Step two was that Jesus took upon himself, notice, the nature of a servant. In the NIV translation, you see the words in very nature in verse 6 and in very nature in verse 7. In the original language, it is the same word, morphe. It means Jesus Christ was in his very essence, in his very core, divine, yet a servant. It was a part of who he was. He was the Son of God. He was God in the flesh. And yet he said, I came to serve. I came to serve. And notice step three. He humbled himself even to the point that he put himself on a cross and died for you and I. The previous verses we've had challenge us as Christians to think as others more important than ourselves. I wonder if some of you had this reaction that said, why do I want to think people more important than me? Why couldn't I just think people equal to me? That'd be so much easier. I mean, after all, does it say in the Constitution that we are created equally? So why don't I just look at people and create them equal to me? Why are you telling me that I need to look at people as more important to me? Is it even reasonable? Is it psychologically healthy? Is it necessary? Why? Why do we have to do that? Well, I'll tell you something, friends. When you begin to think about people being more important than you, it's exactly what Jesus did. In humility, Jesus considered others as better than himself. And he looked not only at his own interest, but he also looked at the interest of others. Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, treated others better than he treated himself and was looking out for their interests over and above his own. Writer of Romans, I think, nailed it when he said this in Romans chapter 5, verse 6 and 8. Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrate his own love for us in this. Here it is. You've memorized it. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's how important he thought you and I were. That's how important, as he looked at us as sinners, as more important than anything else he could do but give his life. Jesus Christ was the ultimate VIP. And yet he humbled himself to make everyone around him more important than he was. Let me tell you something, friends. If God can do this, I know it would be hard, but it is absolutely something each and every one of us should do in our lives. God, what I do is not for me to receive praise, honor, and glory. What I do is not for a whole bunch of people to see and pat me on the back and tell me how great I am. God, what I do is for other people who I see who are much, much, much worse off than I am, that God, I may be able to reach out and touch them and share Jesus Christ with them. Will that take some sacrifice? Yeah. Is that going to take a lot of time? You bet. Is that going to mean you're going to have to love your enemies? Yeah, that's what it means. Does that mean you're going to have to turn your cheek? You got it. Because they're worth it. How can you say they're worth it? I didn't say it. He did. They're worth it. Every person around us is worth it. Let me show you something exciting as I give you the fourth point. Because it's an interesting thing about humility. Go back with me to Philippians chapter 2. Pick up with me in verse 9. Listen to what Paul said. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him, referring to Jesus, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those in the earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let me share something with you that's pretty amazing. The paradox of humility is that God, now listen, I got to be careful because some of you are going to have problems here. I'm not telling you this so you will do it. I'm telling you as a result of you doing this, this is what's going to happen. And that is God exalts the humble. Now, don't you dare go out there and be humble. I'm going to be humble because I want God to exalt me. Uh-oh, you just blew it. Wrong attitude. Wrong attitude. I mean, those people say, oh, I think I'm going to give to the church because the preacher told me you got 10 times back. Wrong attitude. You give to the church because that's what God told you to do. You're humble because that's what God told you to do, not to get something from it. But the paradox of that is God exalts the humble. And the ultimate example of that, of humbleness, is Jesus Christ, but it is also the ultimate example of what it means to be exalted. I love that song that we sing many times. He came from heaven to earth to show me the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift up your name on high. Because Jesus humbled himself, God exalted him to the highest place. God gave him a name above every name. God gave him a name that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. What is true to Jesus is the ultimate sense is true to everyone who humbles himself in the general sense. God exalts us. God uses us. Let me give you two passages to write down, okay? Two passages to put in your notes. Matthew chapter 23, verse 12. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. If you exalt yourself, watch out. God will take you down a notch or two. But if you humble yourself, watch out. God will take you up a notch or two. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. All of you clothe yourself with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. That doesn't mean that if we humble ourselves, we'll be exalted in the same sense of Jesus. You know better than that. No one's going to bow their knees to us or confess to us that we're Lord. That only belongs to Christ. But I'm here to tell you, God has a way to bless us. God has a way to reward us for those who are willing to humble themselves, those who are willing to live their lives sacrificially for others. This is what excites you. God, thank you for teaching me how to be humble. Thank you, God, for teaching me how to treat others as if they are VIPs. Thank you, God, for helping me to reach out to those that nobody else wants to reach out to. Thank you, God, for really caring for me and all the things that, God, you want us to do. And God says, let me tell you, you do that, and don't worry, I'll take care of you. I'll take care of you. I received an email again this week, and it just, doors are constantly opening up, and I got it sitting in my inbox, and I'm praying over it, and I'm praying through it, and asking God what he wants us to do with it. A local retirement home, isn't it, Daryl? Yeah, a local retirement home has emailed me and said, you know, we, Pastor, you guys are just really making an impact in our community, and we just love you, and we have an opportunity for you to come down here once or twice a month and do a service in our retirement home. We have decided we want to put a Protestant service in into our retirement home, and we were wondering, would you like to have that ministry? And then she said this, I don't know if very many people will show up. Delete. Not enough people. Don't need that one. I'm looking for big stuff. I'm looking for what things will bring us out. God said, you better not delete that. You better pray over it. Because who knows who it is I'm trying to reach if only one shows up. Wow. Okay, God. Okay, God, so I'm praying through this now to see where it is that the Lord wants us to go through with it. But you see, there's so many times we determine stuff like that by whether or not to see what we can get out of it, rather or not to see what God wants to get out of it. Let me show you something here in conclusion. I want you to write this down. Write this down, those of you who take notes, and I love you taking notes. I really do. I want to give you three things that humility can do in our lives. Number one, humble servants discover that there's a deep satisfaction that comes from helping and encouraging others. Now, did you get that? Because I don't want you to miss it. Humble servants discover that there's a deep satisfaction that comes from helping and encouraging others. You know what? Can I say this to you? It is really better to give than receive. Now, most of us like to say that, but we just don't believe it. I'd rather give. No, it's better to give than receive. It does something to you. Even secular psychologists say that one of the best therapies for a person who is suffering is to find someone worse off than they are and serve them. Number two. Second exaltation that comes from a humble servant is love. You get to experience love. It's easy to love the lovable. It is hard to love the unlovable. If you live a life of humble service to others, you will be loved. Celebrities today get a lot of attention, and they really do impress a lot of people by a lot of things they are. But the people who really impact your life do so by close, humble service. They love you for it. There may be people out there who give all kinds of money to see ministries being done. But you know who the people remember? Is those who did it. Those who came and served me my meal. Those who came and sat down across from the table to say hello. Those are the ones people remember. We're looking at mission trips this year. Our missions committee is working so hard for a mission celebration that's coming up in March that we're so excited about. And God and missions committee, I'll just say, I haven't talked to you yet. I got so many things that God's laid upon my heart. And to say, God, how can we go serve, not where we can go? You know, I was talking to a missionary in British Columbia, in Canada. And I was talking to him for an hour today, this week, while I was traveling back from a trip. And in our conversation, he said to me, I mean, it just generated. I was sharing it with Pastor Darrell, and we talked about it, just generated. He said, you know what? He said, I'm not looking for a mission team. Now, I mean, tell you, missionaries all the time ask for mission teams. I am not looking for a mission team. He said, I am looking for a group of people who are willing to come to our area and help us to start something that are going to be a part of it. Not just come in and do your flash and leave, but that are going to come in and be committed to us. That are going to be, and I like this word, partners. That are going to be partners in starting something. And I thought, God, that takes a lot of work. That takes a lot of sacrifice. That's a big chore to take on. But God said, that's what I'm looking for. I am tired, and I don't know about you, but I am tired of flash ministries where we go in and we look good and we walk away a few days later patting ourselves on the back on how well we do and never see the people again, never see the results, never commit to work with them. God said, I'm tired of that. Where people can really sense that you care. They really sense you have genuine respect and concern for what's going on in their life. Number three. Sometimes, and write the word sometimes in capital letters. Sometimes, exaltation comes in a form of recognition and leadership. Jesus pioneered this saying, servant leadership. Even in the cold, hard business world, has long recognized the value of giving people who really are working because they love it, because they care, rather than trying to get something out of it. They call them servant leaders. And recognition doesn't always come. That's why I said put sometime. But let me tell you something, friends, it often comes. Where God recognizes because of the stuff that we're doing. But I've said over and over again, if nobody here on this earth recognizes me, it doesn't matter. Someday He will. Someday I will stand before Him. And I don't know about you, but I want to hear those beautiful words that I pray my God will say to me. Bill, welcome home. A job well done, my good and faithful servant. No one else patted me on the back. It's okay. No one else recognized me. That's okay. I wasn't put as the top 20 pastors in the United States. That's okay. Someday, I stand before my God, and I hear Him say, a job well done. And my friends, that's all I need to hear. That's all I need to hear. We're going to climb that mountain. We got to be humble. We're going to climb that mountain. We got to consider that every person we run into while we're climbing is a very important person to God. If we're going to climb that mountain, we need to say, God, I'm willing to do whatever it takes, sacrifice whatever I have to sacrifice, and be whatever it is you want me to be. And God, if nobody else pays attention to it, that's okay. I just want to be a servant. I just want to be involved in great things. Why? Because I have a great God who has done great things for me. That's all I need. How are you today? What are you doing for the Lord? You see, you can't be humble until you first of all go to Christ, Christian, and admit your pride. And admit that what you've been trying to do, and you've been doing for your glory and not God's. You've been trying to do it so everybody will notice you and then get your feelings hurt because no one did. But until you're willing to say to the Father, Father, I'm sorry. Father, I truly am sorry. I want to serve you. I want to look at people as VIPs to me. God may send you out to witness to some of the lowest people you could ever think of in our idea of categorizing individuals. And you say, God, what an honor, to be able to do that. But God, I'm here for only one reason,
and that is to glorify you, not me. Maybe you need to seek for some forgiveness. Some things in your life that need to be dealt with. Some things in your life that needs to be taken care of. If God's telling you that, then you need to do that today. Because we're ready to go. We're ready to do what it is that God's called us to do. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you could take that journey with us. But wow, it'll be a tough one for you. Because we know that Jesus Christ is our only strength that we can have. And without Christ, you don't have that strength. Without Christ, you'll just be taking another journey. But maybe today God brought you here because he wants you to get to know the Jesus we've been preaching to you about. The Jesus that changed my life, the Jesus that changed many people's lives. That Jesus would like to change your life. You say, how can you do that, Pastor Bill? By first of all admitting to him that you're a sinner and ask him to forgive you and ask him to come into your life and save you. That today you can begin that journey as a child of God. Be born again, as Jesus said to Nicodemus. If you've never done that today, we want to invite you to do that. That's why we have invitations at New Hope, so that we can invite you to come to know Christ as your Savior. If God tells you that this is a church that you're to be a part of, and you're ready to climb that mountain, you're ready to say, God, I want to join that team that's taken off on this journey, and I want to see what's up there. I want to find out what's going on. God, I believe you brought me here. God, I believe this is the place that I'm supposed to be. Then I encourage you to come. The only thing I'm asking you to do today is be obedient. Obey your Lord. Remember he said, the one who's willing to climb that mountain has a clean heart, pure hands, and obedient. That's what God wants from us. Where are you? Let's bow in a word of prayer. Our heads bowed. The Holy Spirit of God may be speaking to you.